I was a new pastor in Langley, and I was going to meet some peers of mine at their house. They were a couple I had had a lot of connections with. We had welcomed them into our home. We had met with them every week in our life group. We had been sharing life together as they came into our church community. And in this meeting, it was a meeting where they're saying, we're leaving. And they said, we're leaving, and we're leaving because we don't like the music on Sunday mornings, and we don't like the preaching. And in that, defensive Dave started getting up a little bit. I was new. I hadn't done a meeting quite like this before. And I started coming back at them, and it just seemed to escalate. And it was just an adventure in missing the point. They were essentially saying, we can get better service and leadership somewhere else when it comes to Sunday mornings, and maybe in general. And maybe that was true, but it still felt like we're missing it here. Is this really what following Jesus is about? Sometimes in our own journeys, we can be like, don't really connect with that preacher guy up there or what he said. I don't really connect with the music. It's not really my style. But are these the most important questions? In our Following Jesus series, our main question has been, what does it mean to follow Jesus? And we're talking about what's the biggest, most important things. And this morning, one question I really want to start with and stay in is, when it comes to being a part of a church, do we come to serve or be served? When it comes to being a part of a church, do we come to serve or be served? In this passage we just had read to us from Matthew 20, 20 to 28, it's a story of Jesus' followers, not unlike ourselves, who were totally missing it. It was the same issues. When it comes to power, will others serve me? How do I get what I want? How do I go for that top position? Is life about having people serve us or us serve others? When it comes to James and John, these guys nicknamed Sons of Thunder. And they were nicknamed Sons of Thunder because when they went to a town and that town rejected them and the gospel of Jesus, they told Jesus, Jesus, will you send some lightning bolts down and take care of that town? Let's show them. So these tough guys, these Sons of Thunder, bring their mom and ask their mom to talk to Jesus to give them the best positions. Seriously? Don't worry, nobody will probably hear about it anyways. So Jesus responds back to the Sons of Thunder, to his bickering disciples who are competing over the top position, who are indignant. That's a good word. They're indignant. How dare you try and get your mom to talk to Jesus? I'm going to go get my mom and talk to Jesus. They were indignant. And Jesus says, guys, you're totally missing the point here. This is not what I'm about. He says, this is what the world's about. You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. They say, when it comes to the world, we use authority for our own sake, to lord it over others, to get our will. But among you, North Star, among us Christians, among us disciples, it's different. If you want to follow me, here's what it is. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. So this morning, when it comes to holding on to the main thing, Jesus is saying, if you want to be a leader, you must be a servant. If you want to be a leader, if you want to influence, if you want to influence amongst the church, if you want to influence amongst those, your peer group, at work, you need to be a servant. And I know some of you, having spent 3.5 years together, you're like, that's great. I don't want to be a leader, so this doesn't apply. No, it's a broader piece, right? Let me make sure I catch all of us. Well, you tell me. On a broader sense, if you want to follow Jesus, you must be a servant. If you want to follow Jesus, you must be a servant. This is what I want you to get a hold of this morning. This is what's coming out of the very words of Jesus from the Holy Scriptures, which God has given us to timelessly teach us timeless eternal truths. When it comes to what he's about, love, leadership, influence, it's about service. And if we get a hold of this message in new ways, it's going to transform this church. If you take this message into wherever you're called next, going, when I'm a part of a church, it means that it's about serving, not the kind of service I receive. Not about being served, but serving. You're going to have a transforming impact on that place in a way that Jesus points his disciples to. Starting with the church, but let's broaden it. If you go to your workplace, not looking to be served, but to serve, you're going to have this transforming Jesus influence in your workplace. That's our call. We don't stay here. We only spend 1 hour a week here out of the 168 hours in our week. And we get it to get charged to go into mission together in the mission that Jesus has for us. And that's going to be our final week in our Following Jesus series. Next week, incidentally, in between, is counting the cost. If you're going to go all in and following Jesus, count the cost. And that's why if we make being a part of the church about that 1 hour, about how much service we got when it comes to the preaching or, I don't know, whatever, the music, whatever you name it, it feels like we're missing it then. So Jesus' lesson for us to really grab a hold of is that if you want to follow me and if you want to have influence, you need to be a servant. And can we imagine what that means if we all come to this place, if we all go out of this place thinking about these things, thinking, I'm going as a servant? There's so many good things to say. Let me share when we're missing it. We're missing it when we're about getting a certain position. We're missing it when we're looking for certain recognition. When we're missing it is when we're saying, you can't treat me like that. I know my rights. And truly, as leaders, as we aspire to be leaders, we are to serve and empower all those around us. Here's when we're getting it, when we're following Jesus as his servants. Here's things that I see. When one of our teens gets up courageously and shares her testimony of what God's doing in her life, we're getting it. When one of our young adults goes to an awesome God meeting for the first time, and older Christians are sitting there beside him at his first AGM, coaching him, being a support, we're getting it. When we're sharing testimonies of what God's done this past year at our AGM, we're getting at it. when we're making faith goals on a budget level that goes, God, you got to be doing this. And I'm in, here am I, use me. We're getting it. When our seniors are using their CPP money that can often be a stretch in living, and they're bringing out their coffee money and other sacrificial money so that our young people can go off to Bible college and get equipped for life and for ministry, we're getting it. There's so many things I see in our midst where we're getting it. I think of how this principle of when older Christians are laying down our personal preferences in order to serve the next generations, this is such a picture of serving. This is such a picture of getting it. I think of one of the most powerful funerals I've ever been to was a senior gentleman. And a sanctuary that was probably double this size was filled with young adults. I was one of them. And his pastor shared about how he was an advocate to change the music so it better suited the next generation. He was getting it. There was these masses of young adults lining up. This man taught me a lot about following Jesus. He left an impact on the next generation. It's like, when do you know you're an older Christian? I don't know. Who wants? Look beside you. If you're older than the person beside you, you're an older Christian. It's so relative, isn't it? It's good. There's so many ways where we're getting it, church. Let's talk about seven principles from this book I reread this week, Jesus on Leadership, by a guy named Gene. I know what you're thinking. I thought it too. Not another Gene. Gene, where are you? There you are. I'm very thankful for the wisdom and leadership and heart of service and sacrifice that our chair of our board, Gene, goes and lives by in many unseen ways. This is what it means to serve as a leader. These principles I see at work in our board, and I celebrate them, and I know it goes out into our church. So, seven principles coming from this book, Jesus on Leadership, Gene Wilkes. So, number one, and I'm going to blitz through these, so if you want to write down the principle and the address, that's probably all you'll get. Number one, humble your heart is a principle of becoming a servant and serving as Jesus did. Humble your heart. Luke 14 says, when someone invites you to a banquet, don't grab a place of honor. Followers of Jesus humble themselves and wait for God to exalt them. Principle number two, first be a follower. First be a follower. Jesus invited Matthew, and he invites all of us, come follow me, be my disciple. Followers of Jesus follow Jesus rather than themselves, rather than seeking a position, rather than putting Jesus as one of many things. No, we follow Jesus. Principle number three, to serve as Jesus did, servants find greatness in service. We find greatness in service. In this passage, Matthew 20, verse 26, among you it will be different. Among us at North Star, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Followers of Jesus give up personal rights and personal preferences to find greatness in service. Principle number four, servants, to serve as Jesus did means we take risks. We take risks. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. John 13, verse 3. Jesus had a confidence that God was in control, so he could take risks. He could be out there. He knew his heavenly Father had empowered him, had given him authority. So too with us. We can take risks because we know God is in charge. We take risks that are informed by God, that he's calling us to. I loved Gene, as you were up here as giving one of the testimonies, I loved the risk, the radical risk you shared with us about, okay, God's stirring this in my heart, and I'm going to go up these stairs and around the corner and talk to the third guy on the left standing beside the taller lady, and I'm going to say this word. And you did, because you felt God was stirring this. You could take that risk, and then years later, God connected you. As followers of Jesus, we know God's got us. We can take different risks because he's in charge. To serve is also to put ourselves out there. Also heard of a church member who walked across the sanctuary just this month to go connect with someone new in our midst because he felt God was stirring that. And then they connected the next week. They went out and spent some time in the afternoon. He took a risk, and I heard just through the other person who received it, like, wow, that was powerful. And I know for that person, it would have been stepping out there. Principle number 5, to serve as Jesus did means we take up the towel. We take up the towel. The towel is a symbol of service. John 13:4-5, so he, Jesus, got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around them. Followers of Jesus take up Jesus' towel of servanthood to meet the needs of others around us. We don't say, it's not my job. We say, how can I serve? Principle number 6, we share responsibility and authority. We share responsibility and authority. Mark 10:43-44, but among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. Followers of Jesus share their responsibility and authority to meet a greater need. We don't hold on to the authority we've been given. Whatever authority, responsibility we've been given, we use it to serve, and we distribute that authority out. So reviewing the 6 principles so far, 7 principles to serve as Jesus did. Number 1, humble your heart. Number 2, first be a follower. Number 3, find greatness in service. Number 4, take risks. Number 5, take up the towel. Number 6, share responsibility and authority. Number 7, join the team. Join the team. Ephesians 4:11-12 says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. Jesus started the team. He built the team. He served the team by giving all the gifts. And he multiplied the leadership of those around him. And he gave each of us the call to join the team. And he gave us gifts. We all have spiritual gifts as we welcome God into our life. He gives us these gifts. I personally have gifts at work in my life that were never there prior to meeting Jesus. And as I was watching an LA Clippers, Sacramento Kings basketball game, the announcer said something so relevant to spiritual gifts. Stay with me for a moment. And he talked about the team. And he said, do you know what the best ability on the team is? And this applies to the spiritual gifts he's given you, the spiritual abilities, you name it. He said, the best ability is availability. If God's given you spiritual gifts and they're not being used, if you're not using them to serve others, then that's not the best ability at work in this place. The best ability is availability. I liked that. So how can I apply this? Well, this is, again, God's Spirit working in you. Listen to what he's stirring in your own heart. And he does speak to you. Let me give a couple other suggestions. Is when you find a church, when you find a place, go all in. And come not with an attitude of what kind of service am I receiving, but how can I serve? This is what Jesus has taught us when it comes to being followers of Jesus. And it means we need to lay down our personal preferences. It means our seat on Sunday mornings. It means the things which are most preferred, which are near and dear. Let Jesus speak to you about your money, your time, your energy. Lay those down. I love the way saints before me have modeled tithing their finances, tithing their time and their energy. And I've seen CEOs of Vancouver businesses tithe their time, and I know the cost, and seen them serve in great capacities in the church. I want to give one question for us in how can I apply this. Oh, and it's already on the PowerPoint. Oh, look at that. You already know. If we take with us this question, who's one person I can serve today? If you wake up in the morning, as you go to work, as you come to meet with the church, who's one person I can serve today? As you're at your home with your family, that feels like something we can do, right? Who's one person? If you can do more, like, God, how can I serve you today? And as we reflected on the principle of working out the little things in following Jesus, we recalled how any small act we do for another, we do unto the Lord. When we show love to another, when we serve another, it's an expression of our service of our great and amazing God. As we had Columbia Bible College here this weekend, my old alma mater had all these great college things going through my head. There was one story from marriage and family class by the Old Testament professor, and he talked about service. And he talked about men, and he called out the guys. Guys, you're called to lead in your homes the way Christ did with the church. And I'll never forget this part, because then all the college guys started going, yeah, that's right. And he said, it may not be a job you want, because when it comes to leadership, that means a life of service and sacrifice. You're to lead through service and sacrifice in the model of Christ. Think about it. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who would make the most powerful person you can think of, the most rich person you can think of, as tiny as an ant. In his power and vastness, he taught us about how to really live. He laid it all down. He became one of us. And in our passage, it says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. He laid down his life for us. He reconciled those who were sinners, me and you. He reconciled enemies. He laid down his life for his enemies. This is amazing grace. If you put this principle of following Jesus into practice in your life, you're going to bring a Jesus influence that transforms this church in powerful ways. If you put it in practice in your workplace, in your high school friendship groups, in your college groups, in your family, you're going to transform them. People might say, that's weird. Who wants to be a servant? Well, when we encounter Christ and his love at work in a way that serves and blesses, and then it comes through us, we start to go, oh, I get it. Look at this life that comes out of following Jesus. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for teaching us about what it means to live fully. You say those who hold on to their life, who make it about us, those are the people who actually lose it from an eternal perspective. We can't see. We don't have the right perspective. We can't see the broad picture. But those who give up their life, those who take up the cross and follow Jesus, those who live lives as servants, they're the ones who get it. Thank you for the many ways where those saints who've gone ahead of us, those older Christians, have modeled laying down personal preferences, living lives of sacrifice, living lives of countless acts of service without any praise, but just faithfulness. We celebrate how you've been at work in our lives, pointing us to you through those who've gone ahead of us. And Lord, here we are. We want to learn the lesson. Lord, forgive us for the ways where we've come to our church, to our very families and our church family, and those around us you call us to be on mission for, where we just go with a heart centered on ourselves and about being served and criticizing those who may not serve us the way we want to. Forgive this ugliness in our own hearts. And you do. And we receive it, and we're so thankful. This is amazing grace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.